I think the future of finance, really kind of looking at the biblical requirement or lack thereof. I know we'll look at the Word of God and see tonight what is our responsibility as parents, as adults, to give or leave an inheritance to the next generation. If you want to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, we will be looking a lot in Proverbs. We're going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, which you may want to write references down. I don't know if you'll have time to turn to them all, but a key passage of Scripture with regards to giving our children an inheritance is this passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22. There is found there this admonition. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So this is the key passage of Scripture that most would use, and I have to tell you that as I studied this out this week, I have modified my own thinking with regards to this principle in the Word of God. I have felt for a number of years that it was my responsibility as a parent to leave an inheritance to my children's children because of this verse and because of how I had been taught. But I believe that as we look at this tonight, you will see, I hope, from the Scriptures, what I believe that God's expectation is with regards to this. How do you reconcile this verse that we've just read, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, with Psalm 6, 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves instead treasures in heaven where neither moth and rust doth corrupt. I forgot the where thieves break through and steal, so that wasn't an exact quote, but you know what I meant. How do you reconcile those two? You see, people look at this and they take one verse and they, I don't believe that you're sinning if you leave an inheritance to your children. God may have blessed you and you may have the means to do that, and praise the Lord. But I think that as we walk through this information tonight and the scripture passages that we're going to look at, I think that at least from my understanding of this, and I'd be happy to discuss it with anybody, that is not what God requires of us. Sorry, children. You guys are all, man. So what we're really dealing with here is leaving an inheritance to our kids. Many desire today to leave vast amounts of money to their children. Even Christians look and have the desire to leave their kids money. And you know what? Many kids expect it. According to Money Magazine, 64% of children expect to receive their parents' inheritance. And only 40% of parents believe they will have anything to give. So there's going to be some disappointed children in there somewhere. An inheritance, though, is not just financial. An inheritance goes beyond just a numerical value or money as we would look at in the world today. It is a legacy. It is a heritage that's given and passed down. And that heritage, that inheritance that is our responsibility as parents to give, can be good, and it has potential to be bad. It is our responsibility to leave an inheritance that is good. And I'm going to hopefully unfold this and unravel the many different thoughts that are in my mind. But in Isaiah 58, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father." Jacob left a heritage for his children. And it was one in such that was not just a financial heritage. If you remember, Jacob wrestled with God and said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He sought for and desired to have something beyond just financial means. So as we look at this idea of inheritance tonight as leaving a heritage and a legacy to our children, I would like to talk first of all about the priority in the inheritance. In Psalm 71, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. O God, thou hast taught me," verse number 17, "thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed," or bald, it's not in there, but, "O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come." The psalmist cries out to his Lord, and he says, "Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm old. I'm turning gray and turning loose, and my body doesn't have the vitality that it once did. But God, would you please give me strength to hang on long enough to show the generation that is to come your strength and your power. May you allow me to impart to them who you are to me before I'm off the scene." There is a parent who understands the idea of leaving inheritance to his children and desires that before he is gone, he would have the strength to give his children something of the power and the strength of God, that they might know Him. As parents, it is our responsibility to do that for our children, to give them that. If we're going to give a godly heritage, we need to have a godly plan. It is our job to show the power and the good. You know what? We are showing who God is to us regardless. We are showing to our children and to the next generation who God is to us when we decide to be in church when the doors are open. We are putting on display for them that church is important, that my relationship with God is important, and He comes first in my life, and I desire to seek and please Him of utmost importance. We are putting that on display, but the same is true. If God is not of utmost importance for you, you are teaching the next generation who God is to you and where He fits in your priorities. They are getting that from you, and it is our responsibility as parents to pass on a godly heritage, one that they could take and be proud of in honor and glory of God, that you as a parent sought after God and God first. Most of the inheritance that we see in the Word of God, as I want to try and give an understanding of how I came to believe that it's not necessarily talking about financial means, that verse in Proverbs, I want you to understand the difference between what an inheritance was in the Old Testament and what we as Americans today perceive to be an inheritance. You see, in the Old Testament, an inheritance started out as a piece of land that was given to them by God, that God had blessed their family with as an inheritance, that God brought them into the land and God gave them this. This was their inheritance from God. And they were commanded not to lose that inheritance. They were commanded not to give it away. If by some means of debt they ended up losing their land, it had to be restored to them on the year of Jubilee, because that was their inheritance. And they had that land, and that land was passed on from generation to generation. Most of the inheritance that you see talked about in the Old Testament is dealing with that. There is a blessing that's passed on in the Old Testament with that. And with that blessing comes the responsibilities. Okay, eldest son, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the inheritance you have coming to you. I'm going to give you the land that is yours, and I'm going to give you. And the son then had the responsibility to take care of mom and dad. You see, they were still going to live on the land. They quite possibly were taking care of grandma and grandpa because they were still living on the land. And they had the responsibility to take care of their sisters until they got them married off because they were on the land. They were assuming that responsibility. That's a far cry from what we're thinking about today when we're talking about just leaving a bunch of money to somebody. In Ezra chapter 9, verse number 12, he says, "Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat of the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever." You see, in the Old Testament, what he was talking about in the majority of cases, and I have not studied at and looked at every single one of them, but he's talking about the land that was an inheritance from God that they were to continue to pass on. They were to continue to give. It was a transfer of responsibility. Most families in the Old Testament, and certainly this is not all of them, but most of them lived in a what I would call an existence mode. Today, we would call it living from paycheck to paycheck. They lived from meal to meal. They lived from, you know, harvest to harvest. They were not accumulating and amassing wealth like we do today. They were literally praying, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Because that's what they had. That's what they needed. Most of them were. Now, I know that not all of them were. Certainly, we have the example of Job, who God blessed exceedingly, and he had tremendous wealth. But most of those in the Old Testament didn't live that way. So I do not think that when we look at this passage in Proverbs, that what God is talking about, that it would be God's plan for us to leave large amounts of money to our kids. Now, if God blesses you and you're able to amass an amount of wealth by the end of your days, I'm hoping to give you some wisdom today about what to do with it and what maybe God would want you to do with it. And listen, you just take the biblical principles and you do what God wants you to do. It's all between you and God. And I'm just going to give you some principles from the Word of God that I hope will be a help to you. I do know that inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance is gotten hastily. Most of the time when a child receives inheritance that's gotten hastily, it does not bring the blessing onto their life that we think it will. You see, it ends up bringing turmoil and heartache. Most young people today already live at a level of wealth that the world has never known. Let me just throw this out because I skipped over it, but I just noticed this spot in my notes. If we're going to follow the biblical example of leaving an inheritance, then girls, sorry, but you're disqualified. Because the inheritance went to the boys. And the girls were taken care of by the boys. I'm just Bible. I don't think that's what we're talking about. But I'm just saying people that want to say we've got to leave an inheritance, if you follow the biblical example completely, then that means the girls don't get any inheritance. I'm not saying that's what we should do. I'm just throwing it out. So if we're going to leave a godly inheritance, I want you to understand, first of all, that we need to leave a good name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. It ought to be the desire of our heart and of utmost importance to us, not that we're able to leave financial wealth to them, but that we're able to leave a good name for them. That we work hard to be able to leave a good name. It used to be in bygone days that mom and dad or grandma and grandpa worked very hard, and it used to be something that people looked at and they said, hey, you're not going to act that way. You're a Renshaw. Renshaws don't act that way. Or you're not going to talk like that. You're a Bottrell. Bottrells don't talk like that. Why? Because there's a name that's associated with that, and you're going to take our name and drag it through the mud. You're not going to do that. Well, you know what? Every one of us here are a child of the King. We're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's some things that the child of the King shouldn't be doing. We've got a name that we've got to carry for Him, and it's called Christian. And if we live and act like the right kind of Christian, then we'll carry on a personal name that will be honorable. And our children won't have to walk around with their heads bowed when that name is mentioned. There are people today, maybe generations removed from their father that did a horrible crime, and they still are bearing the reproach of the name, whatever it is, because of what their father did. It takes a lifetime to build a name and only a moment to destroy it. Mom and Dad, let me encourage you. It ought to be of utmost importance to us, not so much that we leave them a bunch of money, but that we leave them a name that is honorable for God. Somebody's a name that has with it an association of honesty and integrity. Doing right even though no one's looking. You know what integrity is? Integrity is working for Bob Gamble and still doing your best. My son's been over there doing some work for him. Somebody without integrity would say, oh, he can't see what I'm doing. He can't tell if it's a good job or a bad job. I could get by with this or with that. But it's saying we're going to do our best. And we've got to leave a good name to the next generation. We want to leave a good name, then we've got to be upright and eschew evil like Job. We want to leave a good name, then we've got to be zealous unto good works. If I said unto you the name Rahab, what would you say? Rahab the... Do you know Rahab is also mentioned as having great faith? It's really hard to overcome damage to your name. Even though after that time she had great faith, and even though she was known for that, and she walked away from that kind of a life, she is still known to us as that, because it's very hard to overcome damage to your name. And we have got to work hard as parents, as adults, to be careful to guard and protect our name for the next generation. We've got to pass on good nurturing. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's our job to teach our children. You know, it'd be far more important for us to teach them how to work than to give them money. You know, they say, what's the saying? You give a man a fish and he eats one meal, but you teach him how to fish and he's fed for life. It'd be a lot better for us to teach our kids how to work and how to have integrity and how to handle money and how to get along in the workplace and how to deal with other people and how to function in society and to be honest and upright. Teach them these things from the Word of God so that they can go out and earn the money that God wants them to earn. That would be far more valuable than any amount of money that you could give them. Proverbs 3, verse 13 and 15 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than that of the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Do you understand that wealth without wisdom just brings trouble? Wealth without wisdom just brings trouble. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Too many parents in the world today are looking to give large sums of money to their children, and they have failed to give them wisdom to know how to use it. They've failed to impart the knowledge and the importance of it. A large inheritance to most people just gives problems. A large inheritance might not be what's best for the children. It's only going to render the children more contemptible or more unhappy than they already are. We need to teach them to be rich towards God, not rich financially. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Teach them to be rich towards God. This is the kind of inheritance that's of utmost importance for us to give to our children. An inheritance that God would be pleased with. Now, financially, God may bless you and you may have some means. And the Bible clearly tells us, the Lord has said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We know that if God has given us a means and an ability to earn or to make money, and he's blessed us in such a way that we might be able to accumulate a measure of wealth, that we need to keep the right perspective. We need to act according to Scripture. We need to act in accordance with the Holy Spirit leading our life. It's not about getting all you can and canning all you get. It's not about just amassing wealth. Even though I have the means or the ability to earn a bunch of money, I need to stay in focus and realize the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's nothing wrong if God blesses you and you're rolling in the dough. Hey, praise God. There's nothing wrong with God blessing you and you being able to keep a right perspective with what God has given you and realizing it all came from him and you're just a conduit. And if he leads or touches your heart to be a blessing to this church or to a ministry or to help somebody in need or to feed some poor, to find some way that God can use you to bless others, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. God is the one that gives and blesses. And he knows that you're trustworthy and he can trust you with it, so he gives it to you. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to keep a right perspective and realize it came all from him. That warning to the rich says, let him that is rich take heed. Let him not be high-minded. That's a real warning. A lot of times, people that start to amass wealth, boy, they are important. They drive the nice cars. They got the suit at the store instead of Goodwill. And they start to get high-minded about themselves. That's a caution. That's not the right kind of spirit. If God's blessing you financially, act in accordance with Scripture. Act in accordance to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit direct you and lead you with your finances. In James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. You see, here's somebody that their goal was to heap up treasure. Like the rich man who said, hey, I've got lots of time. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. heaping treasure up together for the last days. And God said, thou fool, today thy soul shall be required of thee. Keeping the right perspective of the blessings that God gives you. Having a priority in the inheritance that you're giving. What is the purpose of an inheritance? The purpose of the inheritance. Let me give you a couple of biblical principles of the inheritance that you might have. A purpose for it is to provide for the sick or elderly. Provision for the sick or elderly. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 4 and verse number 8, he says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So he's saying, hey, if there's a need, if you're a widowed, he's saying, you've got family. Go home first. Let the family meet that need. If God's blessed you and you're able to help and meet the need of somebody in your family, then that's what it's for. Provision for the sick or elderly in your family, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. We need to provide for the home. Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Providing for the home, having a house, having riches, the inheritance that you can give down. Assistance for the poor, Isaiah 58, verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover them, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. He's saying, hey, when you see a need, meet it. God's blessed you. God's provided for you. You've got the means. You see a need, meet it. We don't give to the rich. We give to those that are in need, to those that have a need. When we see a need, we try and fill it. Hide not thine own flesh. You know, it's biblical to take care of your own. It's not selfish to take care of your own. The Bible says a man that provideth not for his own house is worse than an infidel. It's biblical to take care of your own. It's a requirement. God expects you to meet the needs of your family. I think that also goes for inside the church. It's biblical for us as a church to take care of the people that are inside this flock. It's not selfish and it's not hoarding and it's not helping anybody else. What I'm saying is we have a benevolence fund. And we get calls weekly for people that need assistance, that want us to put them up in a hotel for a week or to pay for their rent or to provide them food. And it happens all the time. I think it would be wrong for me as a pastor to put somebody out there up in a hotel for a week and let somebody in this flock lose their house. I think that God, it's biblical that I'm aware as a shepherd of the needs in the flock. And if God blesses us beyond that and we have the means to help others, then praise the Lord, we can do that. But we need to be taking care of the church first. And just saying that, many people are like, church first? Wow, that seems kind of selfish or kind of stingy or whatever. I think it's biblical. Right. Let me apply that one step further and just throw it out there. I'm not going to spend any time there, but I believe that's also the case for our country. Our country does not need to be sending money to every third world country that's broke and funding everything else when our country is trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. They need to cut that foreign aid. Now, that was free. What another means for your inheritance? I don't know if you'll like this one or not. As a final means of discipline, another means or use for your inheritance is a final means of discipline. In Genesis 49, verse 3 and 4, he says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. the excellence of dignity and the excellence of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, and he went up to my couch. He was saying, Reuben, you're my firstborn. You're my strength. You are the one that should be getting my inheritance. But I can't give it to you because you defiled yourself, because you're doing wrong, because you're not living right. And I want you to understand, as parents, don't let your love for your child, it's almost backwards, because I don't believe it's love that motivates the decision. I believe it's responsibility or guilt that motivates the decision, because love would do what's best for the child. And the child does not need all that money. The child needs to be held accountable for the lifestyle that they're living that's not right. And you can, as a parent, have a final means of discipline. Maybe one last step. You can't do anything else, but you can say, listen, if you're living that way, I can't give you any inheritance. It's found in the Bible. God did it several times. And it's a tool that you can use maybe to reach your wayward child, because money is a motivator. And we shouldn't reward sin, which is what you're doing when you give an inheritance to those that are living wrong. The planning of your inheritance. Who gets what? Where should it go? The planning of your inheritance. Giving to your family. Let me just give you some practical things now as we close up with this last point. Giving to your family. You need to have a plan and be sure they know where and what it is. You need to talk about it. Don't wait until you pass away to talk about it. Don't wait for the lawyer to inform them about who gets what. You want to have problems? Wait till then. You know what? Some things I'm going to teach you tonight, you ought to start talking about with your kids like my kids' age. Here's the plan, kids, just so you know. You ain't living right, you ain't getting anything. It's not good English, but it's good principles. You're not getting any, they ought to know that. And as they get older, you start talking about where the money is going to go, so they understand it, so that they don't have an expectation that's not met, and you don't have to try and change it on them later in life. You just start talking about it. It's stupid for kids to fight over their parents' things. But that happens all the time. And part of it's because of a lack of planning. Some parents don't want to offend their kids by giving something to one or to the other, and so they don't decide before they die. They figure, I'll just die and let them duke it out. I mean, what in the world? You know that's going to happen. Why don't you, just before you pass away, you say, okay, Tim, you get the four-wheeler. Andrew, you get mom's car. Alicia, you get the bank account. Caleb, sorry, there's nothing left. You can have the smoker, the meat smoker. Well, you go talk about it, lay it out, tell them what the plan is, and explain it to them so they don't have. And one of the kids says, "Well, I really wanted some of those things." You can talk about it, and your kids may say, "Hey, when you pass away, can I have that gun? That gun has been in the family a long time. I would love to be able to carry that on." And you may say, "You know what? Sure, that gun can be yours." And then you need to tell the other kids that gun belongs to. So everybody knows, so there's no problems later in life. Be careful about giving your daughters such great amounts of money that it would interfere with your son-in-law's responsibility before God to provide for his family. Do I need to say that again? Be careful giving your daughter such large amounts of money that it would interfere with his God-given responsibility to provide for his family. If you as a parent have a lot of money and you say, you know what, and this happens a lot, I don't want that son-in-law to have that money, but I want to take care of my daughter. So I'll give it to my daughter, but not to him. Do you know, even right now, Mary's parents, when they give us money for our anniversary, it comes written to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's her money. I'm not worried about it. But her parents respected me as the head of the household. And they wrote the check to me. That's important. Because this creates a lot of problems in homes, in families. When she gets her money from her mom and dad, you might as well send that money somewhere else because you're going to destroy that home. Don't do that. If you're going to give it to them, then that's okay. If you're going to give it to her, you shouldn't do it. Giving large amounts of money to your children not only allows you to miss the opportunity to further the kingdom of God, but in most cases, it's not what's best for the children and ends up causing them untold amount of misery. In Proverbs 13, verse number 11, says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Unearned money cultivates laziness. Unearned money cultivates temptations. They get this money, and all of a sudden they came into all this money, and now they're free to, oh, man, let's take this vacation. And you're trying to help them, but now you've opened the opportunity up for them to feed temptations that before they wouldn't have. Oh, let's take some money, and let's go ahead, and let's get this thing, and let's buy that thing, and let's have this, and let's install this in our house. Things that they wouldn't have if they were earning and paying their own way. You got to be very careful about dumping a lot of money on them. Andrew Carnegie said, "The almighty dollar bequeathed to a child is an almighty curse." No man has the right to handicap his son with such a burden as wealth. That's what Andrew Carnegie said. Cornelius Vanderbilt said, "Inherited wealth is as certain a death to ambition as cocaine is to morality." Inherited wealth is a certain death to ambition as cocaine is to morality. Dumping a bunch of wealth on our children, I don't think is what God's plan is. I think we want to leave them a godly heritage, an inheritance of godly things. Is it okay to give them some money? Yes. But if you've amassed a great amount of wealth, let me encourage you to honor God with it. So if you're going to honor God and you're going to give your money to the Lord's work in one way or another, let me give you some principles about doing that. If you're going to give to, let's say, other ministries, you want to say, oh, I've got this money, I want to give towards another ministry. A couple of principles for you about doing that. You need to explain to your kids early that you're going to do that. Don't let your kids think for their whole life that they're going to get all this money from you. You know, there's a lot of kids that go into debt because they are banking against receiving their parents' inheritance. They are planning towards that. Well, mom and dad's going to give me, and I'll be able to take care of this. They need to know when they're young. Listen, kids, when mom and I pass away, 90% of what we have is going to go to the Lord's work. The last 10% we're going to divide up and just to be a help to you guys. But the rest is going to the Lord's work. If I start telling them that now, when they're adults, it won't matter. That's what's always been the plan, right? So you need to tell them that. You need to explain that to them, that that's where it's going and that's what you believe God wants you to do. This also removes the guilt that many children feel from benefiting from their parents' death. Many children feel a great amount of guilt because mom and dad are dying and they can't help but think about the benefit that they're going to get. They can't help but realize, man, I'm going to get this money. I'm finally going to be able to pay that off or whatever. And then they feel guilty about it. And they didn't have anything to do with it, but they're dealing with that. And being more wise with your money can do that. So a couple things about giving to other ministries. Is the ministry and its leadership under spiritual authority of a local church? Is the ministry, the Lord died and gave himself for the church, not for every social organization out there. I think you ought to use that as a tool to help guide your giving as the ministry under the authority and the direction of a local church. Is the ministry strengthening the local church? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Does the ministry teach and maintain godly standards? Is there evidence in the ministry of God's supernatural work? Is God's hand on the ministry? You're going to be giving your money there. Is God's hand on the ministry? Are you seeing that? Is the ministry based in and practice sound doctrine? So don't just say, oh, I want to give this to some nice group of people over here. You need to know what group of people it is and where what they believe and what are they teaching and if you're going to be funding that. Giving to your own church. You really should remember your own church. It is mind-boggling to me how many people will give $50,000, $100,000 to hospice who took care of them for the last 3 weeks of their life. And they'll give the pastor $100 for doing the funeral. Now, listen, I don't need anything. I don't even need the $100. I'm embarrassed to take it when people give me something because I do it because I love the Lord and I love them. And I'm not, I think the funeral homes actually tell them you need to give the speaker something. And that's why that usually happens, I think, because I never say anything about that and I encourage them not to. But a church that loved you and cared for you and was there when you were sick and you know, provided events and activities for you and walked with you through your life. And for many of the families in a church, it's been many years. Maybe your children were baptized there or maybe married there. And maybe some of your relatives, their funerals have been there. And then when you pass away, you give $50,000 to hospice and nothing to the Lord's work. I don't think that's wise. Don't forget the church. One author has written many, many books. He said this, let God decide how much to provide for your adult children once they are on their own. The money you have generated under God's provision does not belong to your children. It belongs to God. After all, if your money manager died, what would you think if he left all your money to his children? Did you get that? Did that sink? If your money manager died, what would you think if he left all your money to his children? That's what we're doing, right? God is the one that has blessed us and allowed us to accumulate and to amass whatever means or wealth we have at the end of our days. I think we ought to remember him at that time. Now, I have, Brother Mark, would you pass these out for me? Jehovah Jireh Ministries just sent me this week. Came in the mail this week. I didn't ask for it. Didn't know it was coming. Was already working on this message for tonight. This is a little pamphlet about remembering your church at that time and how you can do it. Just a little bit of information. And it tells you in here, this is just thoughts about, think about this, and then talk to your financial advisor on how to do it. I think if God blesses you, he's looking for you to be a blessing to the ministry that he's called you to. I think we are called to take care of our family. We shouldn't give all the money to the church and leave your son homeless unless he's living in sin and living on drugs. I mean, if that's what he's doing, he's chosen that lifestyle. But if he's trying to please the Lord, you know, you got to use wisdom in that. But this is our future finances, the inheritance that we're leaving for our children. And I know I covered a lot of ground tonight, a lot of different information, but I hope it was a help to you.